So 3X Accelerator is the next generation of 3X VSL generator then. What gave you the idea that you wanted to try something radically different this time around versus the more typical product launch formula thing with the three pretty pre-launch videos in sequence and the VSL close video like you did last time when you introduced 3X VSL? And why email alchemy?
Email alchemy, I've known about you for a long time, and I'm really, obviously as a copywriter, I'm really particular about who I choose, and I had just written a book on email. So of all things, for the guy that wrote a book on email, to actually hire someone to write email for me, it was a novel concept for me. I'd never hired out copy before, ever, except for another customer, and then we work with copy chiefs and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but never for myself. And this time I did it for both the video sales letter, which still hasn't been recorded as of this moment, that David Garfinkel and Travis Cody wrote that, and for the email. And my thinking here was pretty simple. I had my hands full with getting Accelerator exactly right. I mean, the interface, the functionality, the flow, adding a lot of new copy to that, that was my entire focus. And I realized, look, you know, I've been doing a one-man show here for years when it comes to Accelerator, and there's just no way I can do that anymore. So what if I tried to get outside my own head? And on both parties' cases, what I did is I sit down with all of them, and you included, and said, here's the general overarching idea that I want to convey, but I want to get your skill sets in here too and see what happens. Combine it with my own story arc, not my own story arc, for the video sales letter, I had my own story arc. For the emails, I just wanted to have you pull out from within me going through that course and like what might not I think of, you know. And it was an incredible experience because, you know, email is my preferred method of selling. And I decided, look, I could spend for myself, I could spend a time just doing this on my own and trying to figure out the patterns that you're using in email alchemy, which would take me a long, long time, or I could just use email alchemy. As I just decided, look, I'm just going to go for this and let Daniel's expertise take the reins and let go of it. And that allowed me the focus to do what I'm encouraging business owners to do with Accelerator: let go of the focus, let go of trying to become a copywriter with a blank sheet of paper, and start. You're starting at not only are you starting from a full sprint, you're starting with a full sprint with a rocket engine tied to your back. So that's why I chose that. And plus, I really enjoyed your writing style, and I wanted to, as you know, are the emails that that was created from this were provocative, to say the least. I mean, to say the very least. I mean, they were very provocative. And I wanted to do something that really pushed the envelope way, way off the edge. And it basically set a tone for what I wanted to be in the marketplace. So that's why email alchemy.
All right. So we're selling to a very sophisticated market then. Folks who live, breathe, and eat marketing. And who've basically seen it all when it comes to persuasion. And you know what, guys? That pretty much describes any market these days. People are totally inundated with marketing messages. They're jaded, skeptical, overwhelmed. They see right through and have very little tolerance for clumsy, ill-executed, ham-handed marketing strategies. The most valuable commodity on earth is no longer gold or platinum. It's human attention. Awareness of you and your product or service is devilishly difficult to get. And there are all kinds of things you can do to get attention, but the guerrilla way to get it is through email, because it's by far the cheapest and easiest way to do it. If you can find a way to send more emails to your list, you gain mind share and awareness. The question then becomes, what kind of mind share and awareness are you creating? How do you increase email frequency without creating the impression that you're invading a person's privacy, or that you're only interested in their wallet, or that who you are and what you're talking about is old news and no longer worth looking at and engaging with? So, John, what were your thoughts on the sheer number of emails you were sending? Any concerns about burning out your list?
Okay, yes and no. If I was the average business owner, I would be scared shitless. I would be like, are you kidding me? You're sending out 20, what did we send out, 26 emails over 10 days? It was something like that?
26 over 16 days.
Over 16 days? Okay, yeah, I remember it was a lot over a little. And yeah, so it's a lot of, and the emails were all long. I mean, there was none of these, like, go here now, click, you know, none of this. This was all very verbose. And, Yeah, so part of me was like, I just want to see how this plays out. I knew your track record from other people, and you had some insane numbers, $3 a name, that kind of thing, from a list, and that's just really, really incredible. And I wanted to see if we could come close to it. And what I didn't expect to happen was what happened, is that we just blew it away, and that the combination of what we were doing with Email Alchemy and what I was doing I did end up writing the sales letter that actually closed the deal for that. And we haven't used the video sales letter yet, but I look forward to recording it next week sometime. So for our evergreen, but yeah, it ended up just blowing all, I think both of our expectations were blown away. I mean, we set a very lofty goal, and I was kind of snickering a little bit under my breath going, wow, well, yeah, if we hit that goal, I'd be like freaking out. It'd be awesome. And we eclipsed that goal within 3 days or something. I mean, it was like, really? So let's set another goal. It was pretty cool. It was amazing.
And I'm going to share some more detailed charts and graphs and things in the next session. We're actually going to do 2 preview webinars over the next couple of weeks. But just to give you guys some evidence of what we're talking about, this was a 16-day campaign, 26 emails sent, almost 2 a day on average. Does anybody think that's a lot of emails? Type something into the question box if you have any reservations about sending that many emails out to your list about one topic. Oh, the box is lighting up like a Christmas tree. Yes. Does anybody think you'd get a lot of complaints and unsubscribes? Yeah, look at that. Yes, everybody's petrified. What about open rates and click-through rates? What do you think would happen to them? Go into the toilet, yeah. Well, I pulled stats for a couple of emails just before the webinar. What you're looking at on the screen there is not all of the people we mailed, but a good portion of them. The chart at the top is the first email we sent, and the one at the bottom is the 26th email in the series sent 16 days later. So 19,620 people mailed, 41 opt-outs, and 5 complaints on the first one. 18,848 people mailed on the last one, 32 opt-outs, and 1 complaint. So actually, less opt-outs and complaints after emailing them 26 times over the course of 16 days. Now here is the more important takeaway. Look at the open and click-through rates here. We started at 15% open and ended with 9%. Started with 2% click-through, ended with 1%. John, were you concerned about the click-through and open rates dropping as the campaign progressed?
Yeah. I mean, I was until I talked to you about it and you showed me the template that you show other people that said, here's a typical campaign. And email opens and clicks did drop, but we were nailing the people that were clicking. They were rabid fans. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they would just shoot back up again. It was like, wow. And I'm seeing the same thing right now, doing the same structure with Email Alchemy with another campaign. It's the same basic thing. And I think what's going on is some people just, they get these long emails and they go, wow, I want to read this, but I'm going to read it later. And then what other people were telling me they were doing is they said, you know what, I take like 4 or 5 days away from email, that I come back and there'd be like 10 emails to read. And I would just take one day aside and just read them all. You know? So it's like, it became kind of like a story arc without a story. I mean, there wasn't a specific story arc through Email Alchemy for me. There wasn't like, it was like a theme, you know, of telling. Every time they opened the email, they were bound to be shocked by something. You know, there's bound to be some sort of surprise element in there that was very clever. And also, I mean, and you and I both talked beforehand and said, oh, all right, John, you know, I've got to get my own sense of language in there, which I did. And I've got to, you know, I can't just totally totally flip the switch. But you were the one that pushed me further than I thought I was even going to go. Like, let's put everything in there. Let's put that story about that gun, and you know, the one I'm talking about. And I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. I mean, people will either completely wig out and say, wow, you know, you're a nutcase, or what happened was, and I'll tell this as a side note, there was one particular email about that we talked about where there was a gun. I'll put it this way: there was a gun involved in a suicide pact, and this is a true story. A true story that I think 2 or 3 people on the planet would be willing to share with a bunch of strangers. I'm one of them. And I was like, Daniel, do you think this, we should really do this? I mean, this is like freaking nuts. And it's true. So a lot of people have asked me, dude, did you just make that up? No, it's absolutely true. Here's what's interesting. I got at least 30 emails out of that asking, who is that coach that you hired? I'm going to hire her. So they were really engaged in the story and the good news of the story, of course, because it didn't end in anything negative. But yeah, I mean, people were like, holy shit, I can't believe that he's talking about this. But that's the genius behind Daniel's approach to email, is that it's not just I want to make this really clear. It's not just shock value. It's not Howard Stern we're talking about here. I mean, yeah, when Howard Stern first came out a long time ago, I was a fan because it was just fun to listen to what he would say next. That's not the same energy that people were getting from these emails. These emails were like, man, this guy's like, there's something very, very unique about it. Someone who's willing to be this transparent. If he's this transparent about his life and this transparent about good and bad things, he's got to be transparent about what he's selling. He couldn't possibly turn around and be a charlatan. I mean, you know, and I think that those emails conveyed a great deal of trust, you know, by revealing a lot of humanity, a lot of the issues. And it wasn't for shock value. It was to really build rapport. And that's the genius behind it.
And this is the really advanced shit. I mean, this is what you do when you're really swinging for the fences. You twist the most intimate, private, and personal details about yourself into a sales narrative. Or if you're enacting alchemy for someone else, you twist their stories into a sales narrative. And let's just take a quick look at this email. And you should all have this email in your swipe file to study. All of the subject lines are listed in the table of contents. Now, before you tell a story like this, you want to affirm that you are here to talk about the thing they're interested in and came to you for. That's what the opening of the email is often used for. First name. Here's why my suicide pact is the absolute key to automating your marketing, which of course means automatic profits. And not to be overly dramatic, but let's cut to the chase. Because a life buried in tension, struggle, worry, and frustration over money is hardly a life at all. That's where my suicide pact comes in. And at age 43, my number one failure in life wasn't in business. It was a seemingly endless and painful string of disastrous romantic relationships. And just over 8.5 years ago, I'd finally had enough. Enter the suicide pact. And now we are into the deepening section of the email, where I tell this story. And I'm going to cover the 5-part subject line, opening, deepening, pitch, call to action, email alchemy formula in more depth at the next webinar. But real quick, the deepening is an absolutely crucial part of the process, and it's usually a story or some kind of vivid mental image prefaced with the trigger word imagine or picture or what if. And the idea behind the deepening phase is to separate the reader from their external environment, to mentally disassociate them in time and space. I want them to forget that they are sitting in front of a computer or reading the email on a mobile device. I want them to go inside and begin running a mental movie. And what this does is it quiets the rational part of the mind, and it activates the 9-year-old child inside, the part of them that is open and inquisitive and suggestible, the part of them that has not yet learned to say no reflexively to things. Very, very important that you bring this part of your prospect into the persuasion equation before making your pitch. And it does not have to be anything as advanced or risky as this deeply personal and character-revealing story of John's suicide pact. All it has to do is activate the prospect's imagination so that you can install suggestions in the prospect's mind that you will then later in the email, in the pitch section of the email, offer directly to the conscious mind. And yes, one of those suggestions in this particular email, as John, you very astutely pointed out, is that you can be trusted. Another one is that you're a competent and caring coach. And there are a few more things riding along under the story, but the key thing here is the disassociation. And you can pick up stories about just about anything online and use them for this. In fact, I'm going to give you guys pre-done stories that apply to universal sales themes. I'm going to give them to you in the templates I'm offering with the latest release of Email Alchemy. Now, getting back to the click-through and open rates, John, I'm really glad the charts and the graphs and the course helped you to feel comfortable with the intensity of Email Alchemy. Because if you listen to most email marketers, if you listen in on their conversations, or if you follow the typical email marketing expert, they are prattling on endlessly about open rates and click-through rates. They're losing sleep at night worrying about them. They're trying to dream up new tricks to increase them because they look at these open and click-through rates as their key performance indicators. They're monitoring them closely and they're managing their mailings by them. John, we ran this campaign for 16 days. Give us a sense of how the orders came in. Was it a steady stream of orders? Was there a big spike anywhere? Was there a lull anywhere in the campaign? How did the orders come in? And what was your reaction as you watched the money roll in?
Well, the orders came in as kind of what you would expect as far as, like, you know, you'd have the when the card opened, of course, you had a huge day. The second day was really good. Then this started, third day was better than usual. And then the fourth day started really petering off, right? And then, you know, they're waiting for this. We did a series of webinars inside of this. So we would do the next webinar. Of course, you get a spike of sales. And then it would just kind of get, like, just steady, you know, whatever, 3, 4, 10 sales coming in. And this is high-dollar product. And then all of a sudden, right when we did our finals, and we would send out 3 emails in a day. Those days is when the orders would just go to Mars. I mean, they would just click. It was insane. It was like, yeah. And so, like I said, we eclipsed our goal, which was a very I set off with, like, a goal of us doing, I think it was like 100K or something like that. And bear in mind, there's no affiliates here. So this is just my list, which is my list was very small. It's bigger now, but it was small then. It was like 9,000 people. And these were lists of, I would enter affiliate contests and I would never place. I mean, I would never place in the top 10, you know. I just didn't have the volume. But they were also lists. These are not my buyers, obviously, because we're so, now this is very important for everyone listening to understand. I did not send this to my buyers list. These were all prospects, all of them. Now, Daniel's list was a little bigger than mine. I don't remember what your list size was, and he sent it to everyone. But my list actually ended up doing more sales. So this is I consider a cold list. It was smaller, and it was all non-buyers. There are a lot of tire kickers. A lot of people just like what I say occasionally, but they're not willing to fork over $2,000, right? We set the goal. I remember when I first talked to you, Daniel, and you said, you know, hey, you know, if we do 100K out of this combined, you know, I'd be really happy. We ended up beating the crap out of that number. It was like, I remember it's like at one point it was like, Daniel, should we dare just the two of us, a $250,000, think we can do this? We passed that mark. It's like, wow, should we go? He's like, what should we do next? You know, and then after we passed that mark, I got a text from Ryan Dice, and Ryan said, hey, can I promote this? And my first reaction was I wanted to say no, which was stupid, right, from a financial point of view. But it was because really wanted the data to be all inclusive of our own stuff. But I figured out a way it was very easy in our CRM to track just Ryan's sales versus everybody else. And we went almost quadruple our initial goal of what we were thinking we were going to do. We went over quadruple our initial goal of what we were thinking we were going to do. I was thrilled with that. By that,
the reality was those last emails with the terribly depressed open and click through rates essentially doubled our sales. And I can tell you from experience, guys, that without the sustained awareness that was built up by sending so many emails, that never would have happened. John would not have seen well over $12 per subscriber results. No way. Not even close. Picture the typical marketer running a campaign. They wake up in the morning, they look at their autoresponder, and they see their open rates falling this much, even half this much, from 15 to 12%, say, as you're likely to see at the midpoint of the campaign. That's a 30% drop. How do you think they're going to react emotionally to that? They're going to experience rejection. They're going to feel they've overestimated the level of interest in their offer. They're going to panic. And that rejection and panic is going to impact their behavior. It's going to cause them to slow down the mailing, send less email, maybe even curtail the campaign. Or maybe they start copycatting the things they see the big dogs in their niche doing, using tricky subject lines like bad news or hey, or just the person's name in the subject line to revive their open rates. Or maybe they make the body of the emails very short and very blind and full of open loops that compel people to click through to the landing page, right? You've probably seen this. And these tricks do increase open rates and click-through rates, but guess what? They also send conversion rates tumbling. People are clicking on the links with no intention of buying or doing anything that moves the sale forward. And like I said earlier, this lower conversion rate might be acceptable if you got a massive list or you've got a monster brand that compensates and carries you. But for the up-and-coming marketer, it's a really lousy approach. Blind email copy is like the boy who cried wolf. You can get away with it once in a while, but how many of these emails can you send? Not very many. A much better solution is to totally ignore open rates and click-through rates. Don't even look at them. They are not key performance indicators. Managing by them is a huge mistake. It makes you value the wrong things and actually squander your prospects' attention, which, as I said earlier, is literally more valuable than gold. Because when you compel someone to click on a link in an email without properly pre-framing that click, you are going to flush all kinds of valuable attention away. There's a chasm that needs to be crossed between your email and your landing page, that 10 to 15 second journey across the chasm that occurs when people are waiting for that page to open up, results in huge waste when the journey is powered by little more than casual curiosity. A lot of them don't even get to the landing page. They get distracted and they fall right into the abyss. And the mental reset that occurs for those that do actually even look at your landing page is basically rewinding the prospect's commitment to your sales message. They're now scanning your landing page, not because they're committed emotionally and intellectually to any particular course of sales advancing action. They are just looking for the answer to the riddle you posed in your blind email. And when they find it, they're gone. Or if they can't find it quickly, they're gone even faster. Much, much more profitable to take the prospect as far as you possibly can in the email. So that when you send them on that leap across the chasm to the landing page, they actually engage with it and they become so much more likely to buy or to sign up or whatever your call to action happens to be. And that means not rushing to the click and doing much more of the selling in the email. It's natural to see open rates drop when you send 26 emails in 16 days and you sell in each and every one of them. And you made a shitload of money, John, but what was the longer term impact of this campaign on your list? Did your open and click-through rates bounce back after the campaign?
So yeah, my opens and clicks are fine. Like right now, just this morning, we were saying, hey, I just sent out an email and we looked at the opens and clicks and they're just fine. They're really good. I mean, so I was usually, on that list, I was getting, I don't know, 8% opens, 10 maybe, and now we're at 16, 18. So not only did the bounce back, I got better, but it's yeah, so you kind of got a boost on that. And I think a lot of that came from just, you know, the content-rich emails. They were very, very pitch-heavy, but they were also very content-heavy. And it's, yes, you can do both. You can do both. You just have to tell some really good stories. So,
yeah, that's really the key right there, doing both content and pitch at the same time. And I don't call it content. I call it secondary reward. I rarely do hard teaching, in an email, but I do teach principles and philosophies and I offer encouragement and inspiration and entertainment, and that's my form of content. What about the length of the emails, John? Any concerns that they were too long and people wouldn't read them?
No. I mean, first of all, we both came from a similar background. We're both direct response writers, and so I've heard that, oh, it's too long, many, many times, usually on dates. No, I'm kidding. But that's a joke for all those other. But my wife would laugh. The too long thing is ridiculous. Long copy sells, and there are times where you can use punctuated copy, but I've just proven this time and time again. The most successful VSLs are always over 40 minutes. Some of them are like over an hour. Long sales pages, we're talking 12,000 words sometimes. So long emails, why not? It's the same logic. It's the same exact logic. People, you know, you could say, oh, I don't have time to read that email. Well, then the logic would hold true that you don't have time to read that sales page, but people do. And we've tested this, and you can look at any marketing company in the world that's tested long versus short copy, and long copy always wins in the long run. Always. I've never seen any stat otherwise.
Yeah, and look how long these emails are. There are 119 pages of copy here. And when you write your emails like this, it does result in a lower number of clicks on each email. But when you do it right, you get clicks that convert so much better. And you get more clicks overall, because when you do it this way, you have a license to send many more emails. You're not like the boy who cried wolf. So let's shift gears for a minute and look at how these emails repeatedly grab hold of the prospect's attention while at the same time relentlessly advancing the sale. It's actually a very deliberate and formulaic process. Look at these subject lines. Cash cow for entrepreneurs who hate marketing. NLP marketing trader says, don't learn NLP. Rabid profits from hoaxes, hate, scams, and lies. Most expensive marketing webinar ever. They are designed to do three things. Number one, grab attention. Number two, generate curiosity, a need to know what's inside the email. And number three, tie in to a relevant benefit that you can deliver with your product or service. Got to have all three. The lizard brain in man is interested in sex and survival. All human beings are hardwired, first and foremost, for these things. All other desires boil down to them in some way. Our autonomic nervous system is constantly watching below the level of conscious awareness. It's pre-programmed to interpret things in a sexual context and to spot procreation opportunities. Doesn't matter if you're old, young, married, single, or whether you override your unconscious sexual desires, the instant you become aware of them, it's already too late. Your attention has been momentarily stolen. Same with any symbol, image, or word that carries the slightest indication of potential threat to personal safety and survival. The unconscious mind will seize on that thing automatically and instantaneously, well before the conscious mind can intervene. And the way the unconscious mind works is through pattern recognition. It's constantly scanning the environment looking for anomalies, things that don't fit, that stand out, that don't compute, because those anomalies are where threat and opportunity reside. So if you want to grab attention, you want to break the expected pattern. And in breaking that pattern, communicate a threat or an opportunity to win greater sexual favor or desirability, whether it be through a more pleasing appearance, wealth, youth, social status, ability, strength, or intelligence. The unconscious brain interprets all of these things in relation to sex and also to self-preservation. If you do that, you'll have attention and you will have curiosity. And finally, the subject matter should be relevant to what you are selling. You must be able to tie the thing that you have to sell to the pattern interrupt you used in the subject line to get your email opened. So let's see how it was done in these four subject lines. Power words: hate, traitor, don't, rabid, hoaxes, scams, lies, expensive. What do these words symbolize? Threat. Cash cow. Rabid profits. The unconscious mind doesn't care about money, by the way. But it interprets it as access to the opposite sex. Confidence. Nice things. An able provider. Freedom. Power. acceptance, family, status, and all of the things that money can buy that signal the prospect's sexual desirability to others. And pattern interrupts. Cash cow for entrepreneurs who hate marketing. Do you see how that doesn't compute? The pattern of belief for this particular list is successful entrepreneurs love marketing because that's where the money comes from. NLP marketing traitor says, don't learn NLP. John frequently talks about NLP in his trainings and in his emails. His list does not expect him to talk trash about NLP. So it breaks the pattern. Rabid profits from hoaxes, hate, scams, and lies. Hoaxes, hate, scams, and lies are perceived threats. And there's a double meaning here. Profiting rabidly from the lies, hate, and scams of others. How does that compute? Or profiting from your own hoax, scams, and lies. Sounds diabolical, doesn't it? And both of these shatter the expected pattern of what you would expect to see in an email from John Benson. Most expensive marketing webinar ever. What are they getting pummeled with daily in their inboxes? Free webinars. Most expensive webinar breaks the pattern. You see that? When your unconscious glances at subject lines with these qualities, full of emotion-evoking power words and mind-bending phrases, it's like hearing your name whispered across a crowded room. Now, here's an interesting stat, John. I went back and I looked at my campaign notes, and you told me that EPC's earnings per click on your $197 webinar thank you page offer was $7 prior to the first webinar in the campaign. And then later on, when Ryan Dice mailed and all of the sales were tallied up, you told me his total EPC, including accelerator sales at $2,000 a pop, was only $7, including three pay rebills. Was that $7 his affiliate earnings or total dollars per click?
Affiliate earnings, yeah.
And what percentage is that? 30, 40%?
In this case, it's 40.
Okay, 40%. So total dollars per click would be 18, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, which is fantastic. I mean,
awesome.
Let's back up here. Ryan was completely thrilled with $7 EPC earnings, including rebills, and without including rebills, his EPC was $585. So he was completely thrilled with that. But Ryan did not send 26 emails. He didn't send. I think he sent three, if my memory serves. And his emails were nothing like our emails. So I think if anything, that tells you the difference between sending out emails that are not in this kind of caliber of emails versus, you know, normal emails. Granted, Ryan didn't come in from the beginning. So I would love to have ran this test with Ryan coming in from the beginning. But I could tell you from doing so many JVs and so many launches, this was by far away the most lucrative email campaign I've ever ran. So flat out, nothing comes close in the IM world. And I can't say for the fitness world because I haven't ran it yet, but I haven't tested it. But yeah, that was insane. So Ryan averaged about $7 EPC after rebills, and that's fantastic. And he's like, I'll mail for this all day long, you know. And here's what's crazy about that: that included no upsells. So after we had one pre-sell and then the sell of the accelerator, and that's it. And our upsell path bombed. That was my bad. And the reason why it bombed is Daniel did such a good job of selling accelerator that no one wanted to take the done with you afterwards. Now, we ended up having like, I think, 16 orders for it or something like that. But in the scope of orders, it was nothing. So when I say bombed, it was, and those ended up turning into higher dollar value orders. But Ryan only had one of those. The rest of them came from our list. So I just think that's really interesting. So imagine if this would have had an upsell that was functional behind that. It would have been closer to $10 EPC. But that's the story there.
So guys, there is an example of the big dog doing things that were great for them but won't necessarily work for you. John was able to get Ryan Dice to mail for him, kind of like winning the marketing lottery. Because Ryan has a huge list and tremendous brand equity. And Ryan uses very short, very blind emails, because like most email marketers, whoever's writing them is probably managing for opens and for clicks. And Ryan sent a ton of them. And don't cry for Ryan, guys, because he does all right. I mean, who's going to complain about $7 affiliate earnings per click? But what you got to realize is that you may not be the Ryan Dice of your niche with the humongous list and the monster brand equity. And frankly, both John and I stand in Ryan's shadow in that respect. But what kind of total EPCs were we getting with Email Alchemy, John?
Yeah, I calculated 28, and then I went back and said, I calculated 28 based on cash in bank. So cash in bank was 28. Then thinking of rebills, it ended up being like 36, so right around that area. And so the refund rate, excluding the refund rate, which I budgeted 20% refunds, which is – it sounds really high, but that's one thing I will say, that when you're running, when you're selling this hard, and believe you me, this is hard freaking core, hardcore selling. There was nothing subtle about Daniel's as subtle as a sledgehammer. And that's okay, because I told him my personality is just that matches my personality. I am not a subtle person, at least not when it comes to when I get passionate about something. I get on a soapbox and pull out the sledgehammer myself. So refund rates will go up, and don't let that scare you, because your sales, my sales quadrupled. So who cares if my resales went from 10% to 20%? And by the way, right now they're at 10%. I'm guessing that they could go as high as 20% at the very end of the 60 days, but we're coming up on it any day now. So maybe not. You know, I'll let you know. I'll give you an update on that, on where it's going to be. But even at 20%, we're still way above what we could have ever achieved had we done something more simplistic.
I'd be shocked to see your refund rate go anywhere near 20%, John. Typically, we're not seeing anything even close to 10. I'd be really surprised. But $18 per click in revenue when Ryan Dice mails, and $36 per click when you mail. Why do you suppose that is, John?
Well, there you have to factor out the fact that it's my product. So let's factor that out. Let's give that right there a 30% edge. Because that's usually what I see when I do an affiliate promo, is I usually outdo the other affiliates, like I did you, like I'm doing Andy, by 30%, because it's my list, right? Factoring even that out, that doesn't come close to that number, because it's 100% difference. The rest of that 70% came from the fact that we used Email Alchemy, and because the sales page was the same. So I'd love to say, it's because his sales page, Ryan sent to his own sales page, but he didn't. The only difference in those two campaigns was the frequency and the structure of the emails. That was the only two difference. And that was it. And so Daniel said to his list, so Daniel, you can speak for your own list, because you were serving as, in effect, as an affiliate, because you're sending it to a list that doesn't know me. And I think those numbers speak for themselves.
Yeah, and it's actually not really a fair comparison, because you sent some email afterwards too, right? And his EPCs were actually helped by a couple of follow-ups that you sent.
Huge, yeah. He made another 50 sales just from the follow-ups, yeah.
Yeah, so our numbers included every single click, so it's actually more than 100% better.
Ryan is a hell of a marketer. He's a good friend of mine, and he, you know, he's got his style. If he would have, you know, I'm sure if he wanted to do an Email Alchemy style campaign for this, he would have at least doubled his EPC. I'm convinced of that. And that's, yeah. I mean, let's put this way. I was really conservative with Daniel on the numbers, and Daniel and I had an interesting arrangement, and I was super conservative with what I thought was going to happen, and I have never been this pleasantly surprised in any campaign that I've ever done. So, and I, with the exception of the very first video sales letter that I ever wrote, because that was the very first one, I was really pleasantly surprised by what that did. But that was a market changer. That was a complete game changer on the entire internet scope of things. I've never had anything this huge in email, and I'm a hell of an email writer. So it's the structure, it's how Daniel's course teaches you how to open up in ways that you're just not going to know. You're not going to, if I could brag on you just a little bit here, I would have never, ever thought of, I'd say at least 60% of what went into some of these emails. I never would have thought of it because my brain doesn't naturally go in that direction. And that's why I think courses like Email Alchemy or and courses like my own are very, very helpful to people because they take you your brain in places you just wouldn't go otherwise. It's not that, oh, my God, we're so much better. It's just that we're just giving you different ways to look at things. And when you look at those things in different ways, it just opens up everything. And I've noticed myself kind of writing a little bit more in that style of the Email Alchemy style just with my own emails. You know, just like if I have to send out one email, it's not like a whole series. I'll notice that my brain just naturally goes to these really neat corners of the marketing world that you just wouldn't normally think about. And that's Daniel's genius, and it's really unparalleled.
Now, as a business owner, what was it like not having to write the emails yourself? How much of a time and how much of a stress saver was it for you?
So I'm going to echo this again. I just finished a book, Open Click Buy, on emails. I've written... I can't count how many email campaigns I've written as a copywriter and for myself. I send daily, so daily for 10 years, I guess, do the math. This was probably the biggest stress relief that I've ever experienced during a launch. During a launch, the last thing I want to be thinking about is I've got all these moving parts, even though I am a copywriter. I am so glad I turned the reins over, man. I mean, because it wasn't just the experience of getting a new, fresh kind of way of speaking to the audience. It pulled stuff out of me that I never would have ever, ever thought to put into email. And so, yeah, it's two minds becoming like the power of three. It's really pretty amazing.
Did you have any reservations about the prospect of paying me $65,000 to write these emails?
No, I did not with the structure we set up. No, I mean it's interesting because I paid you. I wanted to pay you for what you were worth, and that deal was. I look back on that and saying, man, this was such a total win-win. I just believe in win-wins, and I believe in paying somebody exactly what they're worth, and then pay them more if they do a really great job. Daniel did beyond a great job, so Daniel got paid beyond. And somebody might hear $65,000 to write an email sequence. I'm going, yeah, dude, yeah, I'm serious. That was because, by the way, the profits the numbers I'm talking about making were after I paid Daniel. So I'm like, you know, yeah, I think it's completely awesomely worth it. And, you know, we doubled our order base. So, yeah, go figure it out. I mean, it's silly not to do that.
Okay, John, I know you got places to go and people to see, but one last question before you go. Forget about the copy for a second. Let's look at the business model. Why did you choose an email alchemist to outsource your email to versus a regular copywriter?
Oh, wow. With Daniel, I just asked around. I was like, I asked Garfinkel, I asked Carlton, I asked four or five other guys, and everyone. Everyone said, oh, yeah, Daniel Levis, check out his Email Alchemy thing. And so I had heard of Daniel, but I didn't know anything about him. And then when he and I talked for the first few times, it was like, well, I'm not going to interview anybody else because no one else can do this. I mean, his Email Alchemy is completely different than any other course I've ever taken on email. I've never gone through anybody's copywriting materials, by the way. I have gone through a couple of email courses. I think Andre Chaperon is a great example of somebody that came up with a very good method of sending email. He does the soap opera sequence stuff. I went through that, tested that. A couple other guys. This is just light years above everything. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on the phone with Daniel. This is something I would tell someone for don't make a dime. You know, I'd tell somebody this in a heartbeat. So this was light years above everything else. And when I saw what really sold me is when I looked at his stats. He said, let me just show you what Email Alchemy is doing, and just looked at the stats. I was like, well, this is a no-brainer. I mean, you know, and anyone who has the balls to gauge a number by, I love EPN, earnings per name. I mean, that's pretty cool, you know. EPC is one thing. Earnings per name is another. If you can just look at the list that you have and say, I have 10,000 people on my list, and if I send out an Email Alchemy campaign, I'll make, you know, X dollars per name. That makes it pretty stupid simple to make that decision. So we went with the low dollar per name, and then we tripled it. So that's what happened. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for taking some time out of your day, John, and sharing your experience. I certainly enjoyed working with you.
Oh, same here, Daniel. Thank you very much for, you know, not only your expertise in this area, but really, you know, I mean, I'm telling you flat out, just really opening my eyes to a whole different way of doing things. And, you know, I hope to make your legacy grow even further by taking this to automation and Facebook. We're going to see how this works for cold traffic. And I think you're probably as excited about that as I am. But there's no way I'd be spending the money it takes to program all this stuff if I didn't believe in it.